Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Secret Artists Podcast, the podcast where funny people do art and have a chat. What's not to love? Hope you're all well and had a good festive period. I've started reading The History of Art Without Men and it's absolutely brilliant, so I highly recommend that. This week I'm joined by a dear friend of mine, the fantastic comedian Luke McQueen. He chose, I think, one of the maddest choices of muse we've had on the podcast to date. I don't want to give anything else away, but if you want to see our paintings from today's episode, which I have a feeling you will, then remember to follow us on social media at Secret Art Pod. See you on the other side.
Right then.
Right then.
So I'm going to be a normal boy.
Are you saying hello because it started?
Yeah. Oh. This is your worst nightmare, being yourself on a podcast.
I've sort of...
I'm
sort of exhausted by all that now.
Yeah.
I sort of went, oh, I don't want to be myself ever. But then people go, all right, then we won't use you.
And now here we are. All right, here's your introduction. Luke McQueen is a comedian and actor who has been in lots of TV shows, including The Moth Club and Comedians Giving Lectures on Dave, The Stand-Up Sketch Show on ITV and Roast Battle on Comedy Central. Luke had his own series on BBC
called... Hated Roast Battle.
Did you?
I think I made a mistake on it.
You and Lou did like a bit, didn't you?
Yeah. But I think I got the, delivery wrong. My idea was funny. But
what
I got,
was
I think,
the idea?
I just took the piss out of a great grandfather. Because people like go on that show and they sort of take the mick out of people's families. It's sort of quite an unpleasant show. I hated that show because when you go on it, you sort of think you're part of the show, like a nice part of the show.
Yeah.
But you're back. I was made to feel. We were made to feel like contestants, basically.
Right. Who were the judges?
Catherine, Jimmy, and Sarah. And yeah, we were sort of separated from them, which I suppose is fine. I understand that.
Mm.
We were just in this weird little sort of hen pen. I feel like a contestant on a game show.
Really.
And when I went on, there was this guy screaming at me, going, "Go, go, go!" And I'm thinking, what's that guy's problem? Like, just say it, I can hear him.
Did they go for the grandparent joke?
Not really, no.
Right, on with the intro. Luke had his own series on BBC called The Luke McQueen Pilot and his own Channel 4 show, The Person Behind the Celebrity, where he would ignore the celebrity guests, instead interviewing the people behind them. Luke is known for his commitment to daring, unconventional comedy. For example, he once pretended to be Frankie Boyle to sell more tickets to his Edinburgh show. He was a finalist in English Comedian of the Year 2009 and more recently Straight Comedian of the Year 2022, which he won. Am I right, you won that?
I come joint first with the only other straight comedian in the bill. There was basically a few gay people snuck into the final,
right,
but they were outed. And it was just me and this other guy who were the only straight ones. Although he was wearing a cotton tank top, so I wasn't. I thought he was going to be outed as well.
So I've once done art with you, Luke, and I don't think it's unfair to say it was a bit of a car crash. So I'm looking forward to having you.
I think it is unfair to say.
Yeah, actually, that is unfair. I wrote that, but I think
it's a timeless piece.
Yeah, to explain to the listener, there's one listener. we did a life drawing class, didn't we, for Brett Goldstein's birthday.
Yeah.
I ran it. Rose Johnson was the life model.
Yeah.
Friend of the podcast. And your drawing of her was, it was amazing in a way. It, sort of quite cubist feel. But I think it was generally agreed that it was pretty offensive.
I tried so hard. I remember you gave me a tip. I can't remember what it was now, but I really listened to your tip.
Was it about looking, maybe?
Looking?
Yeah.
Or looking at Rose?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think maybe it was, yeah. Yeah.
I'm not being sarcastic, but
no,
it's
I think
the
it
thing
was.
People get wrong generally in life drawing is you just don't look enough.
Yeah, no, honestly, yeah. I think I remember you saying that, and I think, well, I'll just really look at and get all the angles right. But I'm just so bad at art. I'm so bad at it.
No, but it had style. A lot of the other drawings were, I guess, objectively more realistic, but lacked the style.
Yeah, yeah. But I tried so hard to make a realistic picture.
It was like a sort of Picasso. Like you got the sort of geometric shapes of the face, but there was no perspective.
Yeah.
Or it wasn't flattering.
No, Rose took it really well.
Yeah, she
continues to take it really well because we probably share that picture once a week.
What are we doing today? Do you want to explain your muse?
So we're doing this on the 27th of December.
Yeah.
And so Christmas Day, I don't get presents at Christmas these days, which is absolutely no problem at all. I don't, you sort of get back what you give, and I give very little.
How many Christmas presents did you give out?
I sort of guessed off my sister's kids.
Yeah.
And that's it, really. That's it, really.
How many kids?
There's actually six of them.
Okay.
Yeah, yes, there's quite a lot. Four of them from her, and then two from her husband.
Yeah.
But they all live together. That is quite a lot. And I would normally do my sister and my mum and stuff, but we sort of said, let's not bother this year.
That's what the Victorians did, apparently.
Really?
According to Greg Jenner on Sunday Brunch, just gave to the kids.
Yeah.
And it's quite weird now to give to adults.
Yeah, I think it is weird. Hmm. But what's weirder is the only gift I got, which was my uncle, who had printed out multiple pictures of this picture of him and his two brothers with someone else who no one seems to know who it is, including my uncle. And he printed out about 10 of them. He was just handing them out to everyone, saying, here you go, Merry Christmas.
Is that the only present you got at Christmas?
That's all I got, yeah. He said, Merry Christmas.
No, I'd have brought around a present if I'd known.
No, no, no.
Of my aunt's.
Yeah.
So do you want to explain the photo?
Well, it's just a photo of my uncle Peter.
Yeah.
Who handed me the picture.
Yeah.
His brother, Tony. Some other guy that no one knows who it is.
Which is the random guy?
The guy in the cap.
Yeah.
I said, who's that? And he goes, I don't know. But they're in a picture together.
And are they in a pub?
It looks like a sort of, pub clubhouse type thing. And that's my Uncle John at the end there.
It looks like a sort of This Is England still.
Yeah. It's not an ideal description of my family.
No, they look really nice.
But I mean, I sort of agree.
Which is the uncle that gave out the picture again?
Uncle Peter.
Okay. And is he the nice one?
Uncle Peter's really nice.
And are we drawing like a sort of realistic interpretation of this photo?
Because it's quite a mad thing. I bet I'm going to draw him naked.
Which one?
All of them.
Okay.
Apart from the one that's not my uncle, because that doesn't feel right.
So we're drawing your uncles naked.
Yeah.
And are you going to... So the shot, the photo is like cropped just above the waist. Are you going to do like a full body shot of them naked? Or are you going to...
What, so you can see the penis?
Torso? Yeah. I want to know how many dicks you're going to draw. Please.
Well, I think the dicks might be sort of creeping up. They've all got...
So you're going to draw the tip of the cock of your three uncles?
Yeah, or should we imagine the legs?
I think we can leave it up to our own interpretation. We've both got the same image to work from.
Yeah.
And I guess it's up to us how much sort of penis and leg we want to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
I'm sorry that's the only thing you got, but it is also quite a funny image.
Yeah. I like getting nothing. It's too stressful getting presents.
You get anything from your mum?
She did give me some socks, to be fair, which was naughty of her because she told me she was getting me nothing.
Aww.
You always need socks.
Yeah, I love getting... I didn't get any socks this year.
Yeah.
I would have loved some socks.
But I actually really quite like getting fancy, like funny socks, like those happy socks things.
Oh, yeah, they're good.
And my mum never gets me them. She just gets me sort of black socks, which is great.
Well, if she's listening, what's your mum's name?
Yvonne, of course.
Yvonne, of course. Next year, happy socks, please.
Yeah. Just one pair of Hopi socks.
Okay, I'm going in. Are you going to paint? I've set us out a palette of quite strange sort of neon.
Are you painting?
I'm going to paint, but there's the option of... This is the medium you worked in when you did your rose portrait.
Really?
Sort of, what's it called?
And that was quite good, so...
Ready sort of charcoal. It's got a name.
I could do that, because then you sort of... It does create something a bit grotesque, doesn't it?
It's up to you. And there's paper there, that sort of printer paper, if you'd rather that to a canvas board.
No, we could do the canvas, maybe. The problem is, if I use paint, I think I'll be very... I'll just get it all wrong.
Well, I think there's no wrong answers in this.
Really?
Picture of your naked
arms. Really?
How do you think they'd feel if they'd sort of known you were doing this?
Yeah, I think the naked bit, I think they'd be troubled by, I suppose. I mean, I'm a bit troubled by it. But you just sort of say things out loud and then suddenly you're doing it.
So what can you tell us about the Frankie Boyle episode where you sort of pretended to be him?
It was so long ago now.
Did he find out?
Yeah. The funny thing about it was that I was doing this web series called Find My Audience.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea was that I was sort of just coming up with different ways to find an audience rather than sort of gigging for years. So mm-hmm. I'd knock on people's doors and tell them jokes and stuff. So that idea was to, steal somebody else's audience in the hope that they would then be mine.
Mm-hmm.
But I asked Ricky Gervais, first of all, and Jack Whitehall. I messaged them and asked them, and they basically said, funny idea, but I can't say yes to this because I can't knowingly upset my fans.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a shame.
So then with Frankie Boyle, I thought, well, I can't ask him because... I think he might have the same opinion.
Yeah.
But equally, I didn't think he'd mind, you know?
Yeah. He's got a good sense of humor.
But I didn't know him. And also, I just thought, well, Frankie Boyle's fans, that might be quite a fun way of... A fun audience to do it in front of.
Mm-hmm. And was he nice about it?
Yeah, he was really sad about it. Like, we messaged years later, or maybe months later, about it. He said he was going to try and... do the same to me, like turn up at my gig. And
that's really funny.
Which would have been amazing. And I've asked him a couple of times since to do it, but he's not been able to make it work with like whatever, his kids or stuff.
Mm. But Jack Whitehall did come to one of your shows, didn't he, where you did stuff about him?
I did a show about being a double act with Jack Whitehall, yeah, and he turned up for that one. He turned up.
How was that?
It was
I've done the dick on John.
Have you? I'm not anywhere near the dick.
Well, I don't know that. I sort of started with it, actually.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
You got any favourite artists, Luke?
Well, I feel sorry for artists, really, because most of them... a lot of them just sort of become successful after they die.
Van Gogh, for example.
Have you got any more examples? Because I haven't.
That's my go-to example.
That is like a common tale, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I've sold more than that.
Yeah. Well, I do sort of think... I know very little about art. I do have a respect for art, even though I know nothing about it. But I am also... Although I have respect for it, I also do think that people are getting away with a lot of stuff in the art world, because it's one of those things that it's more like this with wine, but I think it's a little bit of art where no one wants to look stupid.
Yeah. What, so you just go along with something that's crap because it's seen as...
Yeah, because important. Like, yeah, exactly. It's embarrassing to be like, well, I don't know, yeah, I don't think that's good actually.
What's your least favourite art? Or what's one you think people celebrate where it's actually crap? I've done The Stranger in a Bikini in the end.
Oh, have you?
Only because I forgot we weren't doing clothes and I did the collar, so I've made it into a bra.
That's nice. I don't know, it's, you know, Andy Warhol stuff, is it just sort of, sort of whatever, isn't it?
What do you think they would say if they saw these, your uncles?
I think that, you know...
Are you the weird one in your family?
I think with my family, and I've, like, I think that they... I know everyone thinks they've got a mad family. I do think I've got a mad family, but I think it's sort of mad in the way that they don't really... I don't think they see it, and I think that... I think they probably would maybe think I was weird, but I think my mum's very strange, but in a really sort of normal way.
Right.
Like...
How does it manifest itself, the strangeness?
Like, she'll just say something mad, or, like, she used to hiss at us. But she's so nice. Like, she's, like, a nice mum, just perfect mum, basically.
Mm.
But yeah, she'd do things like hiss at you and not realise that it was mad.
Would she hiss at you if you'd done something naughty? Or what was the...
Sort of watch telly on a Sunday, yeah.
Has she stopped hissing, or is she still doing
it? Yeah, she doesn't hiss anymore. But if you sort of said, oh, do you remember, if you sort of went, oh, Mum, do you remember you used to hiss at us? It's like, she wouldn't be like, oh, that was crazy. She'd be like, well, yeah, because you're watching TV.
Do you think her parents used to hiss at her?
No, I don't, no, because my nan, I don't think my nan, no, my nan was so nice, I doubt she ever hissed. Have you joined the cock yet? Because I'm struggling to do it.
I've done one.
Like, mentally, I'm struggling to do it.
But yeah, well, for me, these are just four strangers. For you, they're three strangers. No, sorry, one stranger and three uncles.
Yeah.
So for me, it's not really an issue, but I can see why it's a mental block for you.
Yeah, I might not do their dicks.
But is this a prank? So you're going to do... them as they are in the photo, and it'll look like I'm insane.
It's not a prank. I think my Uncle John's not bad. Like, you, do you know what?
Come on.
You're right. I've got a style.
You have got a style.
It's a complete accident.
Picasso, eat your heart out. Were you brought up going to church and stuff?
Yeah, yeah. I used to love going to church.
Did you?
I loved it.
Why?
Because I would...
Red or wine?
No, not that stuff. It was... I never touched that stuff. It was going to, you know, we'd go to the church and then we'd just go to Sunday school.
Mm.
And they were just all my mates. I was there with Charlene and Lindsay, mm-hmm. Sparky,
yeah.
Steve, Ed and Sam.
Mm-hmm.
And we just had a laugh. Like, church was a laugh.
It's just a social, isn't it, for kids?
Yeah, and then in the evening we'd get together again.
Yeah.
You know, it was sort of my favourite day of the week, Sunday.
Oh,
I loved it.
Did any of you sort of believe, or were you just there being like...
Definitely believed. I was baptised.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because Charlene got baptised. Charlene said, I'm going to get baptised. So there's sort of a bit of pressure on me to do it, really. So I did it.
So what age were you when you got baptised?
I wasn't young. I was probably...
Were you, like, old enough to remember?
Yeah, I was probably, like, definitely. I was probably, like, 17.
Oh, maybe. So you were too big to be dunked.
No, I got dunked.
But not like a full body immersion.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah.
What did you wear? You went naked?
No, I can't remember what I wore. No, my God. No, you don't go naked.
But babies do, don't they?
Yeah, but baptising is different. You go,
oh,
yeah,
right.
No one's getting naked.
What's the thing you do when you're a really tiny baby? Is that not baptism?
That is a christening.
I think I had that. Because my mum was terrified that I'd go to purgatory if I died.
Really? Yeah.
I think the Catholic aunts got in her head about that.
Yeah, the christening thing is like whatever. But the baptism thing, that's something you're doing consciously when you're older.
Yeah.
And a member of the church really laughed because I think I called Charlene a cow in my speech, which is a little bit risky.
Mm.
That was a little bit risky for the church.
So that was your first gig, was it?
No, but you know what? This is really embarrassing. When I started doing stand-up, some of the people from the church came.
Mm.
And like I say, it was a cool church. Like, they weren't ever going to be like, you know. I didn't have to worry too much about what I was doing. In fact, I think I was doing material about Shannon Matthews in front of them. Do you remember that girl, Shannon Matthews?
Was she abducted?
Yeah, I was obsessed with that story.
You were doing material about that?
Topical stuff. This is a long time ago.
He's always been a risk taker. So, you know when you're abducted.
I think I fucked this up. This guy's got a double chin. Okay, doesn't matter.
The stranger. He's got about three necks. That's what I'm doing as well.
Yeah, you're right. He's got three. But then this is a long time ago and I'm absolutely crap at stand-up. Terrible. And I think they come to this gig, I was comparing. Mm. And I used to do this thing where I'd high-five someone in the audience like a boy. And then when they high-fived me, I said Spice Girls. And that, it got a laugh. People laughed at that stuff. There was no joke. Well, the joke there was that I was going, oh, look, you like the Spice Girls.
Oh, and that would be a lame thing to like because you're a teenage boy. I see. Wow.
It was, it's bad, obviously. But I remember going to church and doing a talk at church. And I think I was, I don't think it's going that well.
Mm.
So I high-fived someone and said Spice Girls in the church. And it was so, but there was just someone there that could come to the gig and he was sort of like, he was laughing, but I think he was thinking, that's mad that you've done that. That's crazy. This is not a gig. And I'm just one of those things I think of sometimes and I'm like, that's so embarrassing.
So what point did you lose faith if you were baptized quite late? 17.
Well, you didn't ask me if I had.
Oh,
any.
Sorry. Are you still with God? Doesn't feel like you are.
Why?
Not just your whole sort of personality, but are you still...
That's not fair.
Are you still with God?
No
judgment if you are.
Well, when I moved to London, that church... it's mad, this podcast, isn't it? Because we're just sort of having a chat, really. Because we know each other.
Are you worried about what you're going to say?
I'm not worried about what I'm going to say. I'm worried about it being really boring.
No, it won't be. It's lovely in the edit.
All right.
Also, you're definitely not boring. We're drawing your uncles naked.
So when I moved to London, the church that I went to as a kid, they gave me money, which was like really sweet.
Mm.
You sort of feel like a bit of a family there. You know, like I said, I used to go back. So then I looked for churches in London. And the first church I went to, everyone was like over 80. They were so old. And they were so excited that I was there because they were like, oh my God, this guy's like, he's not 80. This is insane. Like, our church is going to survive. But they had like, we started singing songs and they had like mad sound effects, like lightning sound effects in the songs. It was so funny just seeing this little old man just walking over to this cassette, pressing play and then like thunder starts playing. So obviously I went there once.
That sounds great. I'd join church if that was.
Yeah, to be honest, if a mate was there, I probably would have, kept on going for a bit longer.
Hmm.
But I went there once, and then I started going to a church called Hillsong with the comedian Holly Walsh.
Oh.
Because she was religious. I don't know if she's not I've not spoken to Holly for a long time. But for a period, we went to this church together. And Hillsong was at the Dominion Theatre,
mm-hmm.
where they did We Will Rock You. It's like a mass big old theatre. But it was just a bloody... it was just a scam. I remember we were there once, and the guy literally did a speech about how God needs him to have a swimming pool in his church in Australia. And he's like showing us pictures of like, his image and like the, the blueprints and stuff.
Wow.
And then there's like... these trays going around and everyone's putting money in. And I'm just like, this is crazy. We've not even had a message from the Lord. This guy's asking for money for a swimming pool.
It's very clever. Maybe I'll become religious.
Yeah. So I stopped going there. And then I went to another church in Baker Street that was all right. But I would have questions for them. And I would always have questions, even when I was at church when I was little, I'd always have questions. But when I was at church when I was little, to be fair to those guys, they gave me good answers.
What did you ask?
So stuff like when people talk about, why does bad things happen in the world?
Yeah.
I always I feel like I have got an answer for that, which is basically that
God's plan.
No, this is the messed up thing, and this is what annoys me when people like Stephen Fry and you know, he sort of go sort of rants about it, calling God a sick man and stuff.
Mm.
We need to have choice. So like when we were when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden.
Mm.
You know, why do they have that bad apple tree, you might say? It's like, what's the point? Why give them a bad apple tree?
Yeah.
It's like, because we have to have free will, otherwise there's no point to us. Otherwise we're just robots. Otherwise we are just controlled by God.
Mm-hmm.
But the point was that we have to have choice. And so bad things happen in the world because of our choices, because we're not robots.
And then what about things like natural disasters, which are not sort of about free will,
well,
and choice and stuff?
I suppose their argument for that, which was less convincing... was that basically once we had committed sin, so once we had made that bad choice, it was almost like, it's not like we're getting punished, but it's almost like for example, so Eve, once she had that bad apple, childbirth is now gonna be a pain in the ass. So it isn't pleasant.
Feels like victim blaming and misogyny.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean you're right.
Imagine she had that apple. How nice childbirth.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Eve.
I think stuff like natural disasters is sort of just like, well, this is the world. And, you know, everything. It's like the butterfly effect, isn't it?
Mm.
But, I mean, it's, you know, it's obviously not something that... the new church I went to in Baker Street, I'd have questions for them, and their answers were just crap.
Right.
And... you know, obviously, when you're in an environment that you really like, and I mean, what I would say is that when I stopped believing in God, and what I would say is that life suddenly become meaningless.
Mm.
So that's obviously why I suppose people still believe.
Yeah, and as you get older, I can see why it's comforting to have religion, especially when you're dying. I feel like I'd probably quite quickly convert.
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
Yeah, that's the thing. Just do it at the end. Just when you're dying, go, all right, well, I believe in God then. Please forgive me.
All of them, just in case.
Yeah, believe in all of them. Please forgive me. And that's that. I'll go to heaven if it's there.
Yeah.
Or I'll come back as a little slug or something.
Is that what you choose?
I'd probably choose something that sort of has got a short life, so I can do quite well at that. And then come back as something better.
I think I'd choose a bird. Like a bird of prey.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why?
Be nice to fly around, wouldn't it? And you're sort of a predator, so less fear of being eaten by something else.
Yeah.
And you just get a new perspective on life.
Yeah, I think bird is a common one, isn't it? Bird or like in the water.
Dolphin, yeah. I think I'd be too scared of the sharks to be a dolphin.
Yeah, you've got to come up with some sort of agreement if you're a dolphin with the sharks. Just be like, look.
Not me.
Yeah, just leave us alone. We're just trying to have a nice time, really.
Yeah. Can we talk about this Nicolas Cage film that you were in?
Yeah, kind of, if you want. Yeah.
Have you seen it yet?
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed it. Watched it on the plane. Was very excited to see you in it.
Yeah.
And you filmed that in lockdown, right?
I filmed it in lockdown in Budapest.
Yeah.
So it was great because London was completely locked down.
Mm-hmm.
And Budapest was... they were going for a lockdown as well, but you could go out during the day. Their thing was basically from 6 p.m, I think, onwards, you had to be inside, or maybe 8 p.m. But the shops were open.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
They just had a curfew.
Yeah, they had a curfew. The restaurants and bars weren't open, but you could get, like, takeaways and stuff. Hair salons were open, stuff like that. So it was quite nice to be there. But I had to quarantine for 5 days in a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to the hotel and they said, nothing's open in the hotel. Like, the gym is open, but one person at a time. So I had to stay in my room five days and just order room service and watch, you know, just sort of watch stuff. I did a bit of writing. And then after the fifth day, I was meant to go and film.
Mm-hmm.
The director got COVID.
Oh,
so filming stopped. So then I was going to be... Basically, I had to stay there for another 5 days. But then I could leave my room and I was sort of just nutted about Budapest, got a little scooter.
Great.
And it was fun. But I'm not seeing anybody. I'm on my own for 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go to film and I turn up on set and Neil Patrick Harris is there, who's like such, so nice. But he just went, "Where have you been?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Well, you must have been here for ages." I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "Well, where have you been?" I said, "Well, I've been in my room." And he said, "We've been having drinks and dinner every night."
Oh my God.
And basically the hotel sort of lied to me. I think there was like a unofficial opening. I think maybe to your face they had to be like, "Everything's closed," but behind this big curtain. Yeah, behind this big curtain, they were having dinner and drinks every night.
Oh my God. That could have been your big break.
Well, I would have liked to have hung out with Neil a lot more because he was so nice.
Mm.
I own three pieces of art.
Yeah.
And then you've added to that, so that's four really. But I've only bought three pieces of art.
Well, what are the three that you've bought?
Two are from a guy called Dan Hillier.
Mm-hmm.
And one is from this girl. I can't remember her name, actually. I saw it on telly because she was on the art show.
Landscape artist of the year. Would it have been that?
Maybe landscape artist of the year. It was one of them.
Is it of a landscape?
Yeah, it's a bloke in a garden.
Oh, that's cool. So you saw her on that and
I saw her on that. I really liked it. So I looked it up and bought it. But I can't sit here and sort of name a favourite piece of art to you.
That's all right. And what's the guy, Dan, what do you say his name is?
Dan Hillier.
What's his work?
I saw his work in Spitalfields Market, I think it was, years ago, maybe 10 years ago. And he wasn't really up to much then, but I really liked it. And I think he does all right now. Like, I've seen his stuff on display places.
Yeah.
It's kind of like weird sort of creatures, like earthlings, a blend between something that is on Earth and something that maybe wouldn't be on Earth.
Interesting.
And yeah, the stuff I've got is, I really like it, actually. It's sort of a lot of people wearing masks and stuff.
Yeah. Well, that was one of your ideas that we didn't do. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. It's all bad, isn't it? The idea I was going to do was like a sort of a man holding a mask out, and the mask that he's got is a mask of a child, and the man is sort of kissing a child. Horrible idea.
The man is disguised as a child. So yeah.
He's wearing a mask. Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't do that, but we have done your uncle's naked. So.
Yeah. It's nice, is it?
Well, your sort of religious upbringing now makes a bit more sense to me.
Really?
With the sort of
paedophilia
angle.
Do you think so?
Well, they love that in the church, don't they? Well, actually, yeah. It depends what... I'm talking Catholic church.
I think it's mad when people still send their kids to Catholic churches. This is why I just think life is pointless. People are pointless. Like, there's no point taking anything seriously.
Hmm.
Because we know that Catholic priests have sex with children. And yet these parents just leave, they still take them to them and leave them with them. Like, there's no point to anything or anybody.
Thank you for coming on the podcast. How's your picture going? I'm just doing the bell end of Peter.
I love that. Just doing the bell end of Peter. Well, I'm doing Peter's belly button. And do you know what? I'm going to give Peter a cock as well.
Yeah?
Yeah. But I'm gonna be,
he's been very good this
I'm going to give him a big, stonking, big one.
Because he's your favourite uncle.
Well,
we can't
really like. I really like Uncle Peter. Put it that way.
And no present from Peter, then?
Yeah, he got me the picture.
Oh, yes, sorry. It would be good to... well, not good, maybe, but funny to... give this next Christmas. Galleries? Got any favourite galleries?
Not really. I quite like the Hayward Gallery, I suppose.
Yeah. Lovely on the river.
Yeah. That's the end of that. Right. I've done them. So you do the background.
I've sort of done the background, yeah. I've done a sort of impressionist nude type. I've gone very pink. I've gone very orange.
Right. I'd like to sort of paint a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you've been doing...
Should I do that?
Yeah, go for it. I've just been painting the whole time, but... Express yourself.
Yeah, I can't really give you any insight in art. There's no point me even trying. Like,
What about this? You'll like this because it's about football.
Right.
Would you agree with this quote from Arsene Wenger? Football is an art, like dancing is an art, but only when it's well done does it become an art. Agree or disagree?
Football's like an art. But only is it... Well, I think when football is done well, it's like art. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I suppose I agree with that.
But then bad art is still art, isn't it?
Well...
Maybe not in Wenger's world.
Yeah, it's difficult to sort of say, oh, that's not art because it's bad. Mm. But then, I don't know, I think... Like I would say that picture of Rose that I did is not it's just bad. It's just bad. So I wouldn't go look at this artwork.
Oh, I think it's art, that, for sure.
I think the football analogy maybe is like he's talking about like bad football isn't art.
Yeah.
That's what he means, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so. So nice to see him back in the Emirates, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I love him. I almost said, let's draw Wenger.
Yeah.
But I kind of thought...
I wish you'd said that.
Really?
No. No, I'm happy I've done 4 strange men naked. Wenger's got a great face to draw. He's got quite sort of angular features, hasn't he?
Yeah, really great.
Good lines.
Have you ever done Wenger?
I've done a sketch of him just sort of for my own personal interest.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't see that.
I don't know where it is. But yeah, he's got a great face. I was a bit worried that he was going to watch us lose, but thank God.
Yeah, I know, that would have been a nightmare.
I sort of think I'm nearly done with this, but I don't want to...
This is partly why I don't like being myself on things. It's like, you know, I'm a believer, actually, which is going to contradict everything, literally everything I've just done in the last hour. But I'm a believer that family business should stay family business.
You're an absolute liar.
I know. I believe that.
Do
but
you?
Here I am. Yeah, it's because you've got me fresh off the bat.
Yeah.
You know, this is...
It's Merry
it's,
Christmas.
It's on my mind.
Yeah.
I'm obviously a bit emotional about it.
Yeah. Are you? It's a lot seeing family and...
And here we are.
Here we are. Well, I'm sorry for pressurising you into painting your uncles naked.
We should make it clear that there was quite a lot of pressure. Can I mix these paints? I can, can't I?
Yeah, of course. Please. Are you giving them belly buttons, your uncles?
Yeah, I have given them belly buttons.
Yeah, me too. Although Peter didn't have one, I'll just add that in. Do you reckon they've got innies or outies? Maybe you know, for sure.
You know, it's your interpretation looking at their face, I think. I don't want to get involved.
He's having a breakdown. He's regretting this whole thing.
Yeah, I am, actually. I am. But you learn. When you do things like this, you're going to go, oh, yeah, it's a reminder. Don't do that again.
What, any podcasts?
Don't be yourself on podcasts. Nothing can be gained.
I enjoyed your podcast. Do you want to plug it?
Oh, yeah. That's the only thing I want to plug for the next 10 years.
So,
I've got a podcast called Go to Sleep or Else You're a Pervert.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, that's what it is, basically. It's like if you're struggling to go to sleep, you play the podcast and as long as you're not a pervert, you sort of drift off.
I listened to the whole thing.
Well, you're a pervert then.
So I got to the teenagers... Is that a spoiler? Not really.
No.
Teenagers kissing at the end.
Yeah, so you're a pervert. Well done.
Thanks. Absolutely horrible. Are you going to do a second episode?
You don't need to. Oh, well, maybe for people like you, but like, well, what would make you go to sleep? Like, what wouldn't you want to hear?
What, like a harrowing sound?
Yeah, like something you're like, oh, I better go to sleep. I don't want to hear that. Like, that's the idea about it. Oh, I don't want to hear teenagers kissing. I better go to sleep.
Oh, yeah.
That's the idea.
Well, I think that's...
That you stayed up because you're disgusting.
Yeah, well, sorry. I didn't actually hear it all. Who did do the kissing at the end?
Who did it?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to give that. I'm not giving
you.
Yeah. You know, it was a good day for them. Well, one of them.
John's got a neon pink dick.
Oh, lovely. I like that for John.
Do you think that's true?
The mad thing is, I'm sort of holding back.
Yeah, I know. It's weird to me because I know the stuff you're not saying.
Even then, like, about the sort of neon pink dick, like, I had something I could have told you there, which I know is mad.
Go on, tell me.
No, I can't. That's why this whole thing is a mistake.
But you have some info on John.
Not John. John's lovely.
Sorry.
I can't go into this stuff.
All right. Are you focusing much on their faces?
Yeah, I'm sort of going back over their faces, but I'm sort of not colouring their faces in because I think that that really gets in the way of my style, you know?
Yeah. Can I use a bit of your white? I've just run out.
Yeah.
Thanks.
This is really fun doing this, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm just giving Peter a sort of mop of white hair. Painting or sculpture?
Painting.
Portrait or landscape?
Portrait.
Frankie Boyle or Susan Boyle?
Frankie Boyle.
Jesus Christ or Gabriel Jesus? That's actually quite tough for you.
I can't choose, I'm going to go for Jesus Christ.
Interesting. Can you separate the art from the artist? I think you should say yes to protect yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tortured artist or rational referee?
I think everyone's a rational referee.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I don't believe in tortured artists.
Yeah.
I think everyone's pretending.
Cats or dogs?
Oh, cat. I've got to say cats now, weirdly, because I've got a couple.
Yeah. We locked them outside because they were going to one of them was actually suffocating himself.
He's trying to get in.
We put out a dust sheet to protect the table from the paints, and one of them tied it around his head. It looked like it was about to suck it. Sorry, Lee Sanders, if you're listening. Her cats.
She won't like that.
Talk about or think about art.
Think about.
Looking at a painting close up or far away?
Close up, yeah. What's the point of looking at it far away?
Don't know, you can see the whole thing.
Oh, well, how far? I thought you meant like, sort of, you know, the other side of the field.
Private view or view of privates?
View. Oh, that's interesting. View of privates.
Painting from life, landscape, or still life?
Life.
Art or music?
Music. Ah, oh, I've put in the wrong fucking thing.
Art or books? Oh, you put the paintbrush in your fizzy water.
Yeah.
Art or books?
Books.
And finally, comedy or art?
Comedy.
Thank you.
So I think we're establishing the
end. You hate art. Thanks for doing this podcast.
I don't hate art at all. I'm really bad at it, and I think
I actually don't think you are really bad at it.
But like what I said before, like I think there is, like with comedy, like people have to laugh, otherwise it doesn't work. You know.
So do you think it's still comedy?
Huh?
If people don't laugh, do you think it's still comedy?
No, if nobody laughs, it can't be comedy. No. If three people laugh, I think it still can't really be comedy.
Yeah. Well, it depends. If there's three in the audience.
Yeah, there's just three in the audience.
That's 100% hit rate.
Yeah, that's pretty good actually. But that's what I mean. I think art gets away with a lot of crap, basically.
Yeah. What's the fewest people you've gigged to in one room?
I've definitely gigged to three. I think maybe three is the least. But I remember I was in Edinburgh, first Edinburgh, did a three-hander with Rich Wilson and Ed O'Meara. And one day one guy turned up. And me and Rich just looking at the bloke going, oh, I'm sorry, mate, I guess there's no show. And then Ned goes, let's do it. So me and Rich are like, well, we're not doing it. And this guy's looking at us going, please get me out of this.
Oh
I can't
God.
See this and have this person do his comedy for me. And Ed did it.
Wow.
And me and Rich were obviously staying in the room. And Ed did his comedy to this one person who I think sort of just went through hell, basically, for half an hour.
I think you've got to give the audience member the option at that point.
Yeah.
I've done a gig to three people, an Edinburgh preview, and it was just a couple in Aces and Eights and me and Tom Parry, and I was like, oh, what shame, oh well, we can't do the gig. And Tom was like, I think we should do it.
Oh,
we'll sit in the audience for each other. So I gigged to a couple and Tom Parry. And I think I did about 40 minutes, and then he did an hour and 10.
That's mad.
I can believe it. He was great, but I was just thinking,
that's,
this is a nightmare for all of us.
The thing is, that stuff, like, it stays with you.
Yeah.
It's not as if you kind of go, oh, I'll just do this and then it doesn't matter. It stays with you.
Yeah.
I've got I've got ticks because of stuff like that. Say whoopsie all the time.
Yeah, and you say, oh dear, don't you?
Oh dear. Yeah, do that.
What's that from? Is that from an Edinburgh preview, that tick?
Like, just any time on stage where it's embarrassing. Like, I remember doing a gig at Aces and Eights. It's always fucking Aces and Eights. And like, it was just comedians in the audience. Like, there's about eight of them.
Mm.
Good comedians as well. And I did the preview, and obviously the show's not ready. And afterwards, you're just like, well, that's so embarrassing.
Has anyone in your family got tics?
No, and when I do it, my mum is like, oh, he's doing that bloody thing again.
Oh.
So I'd say cookson.
Cookson.
That's how it started, I'd say cookson.
Oh, really?
That was the first one.
When did it first start?
I don't know, like years ago, like 8-9 years ago. Because I remember I was working in the call centre and I went cookson. And the guy next to me, I didn't know him, he was sort of looking at me, but I thought, I can't be asked to explain what this is because it's mad.
Mm.
And then a bit later, I went cookson. And I just sort of, again, saw him looking. I was like, oh, please don't talk to me. I can't be bothered with any of this. But then a bit later, I went cookson. And he took his headset off and he just went, right, why do you keep saying my surname?
Did you know it was his surname? Was that
no, impressive? I didn't know the guy was.
That's amazing.
And I just laughed and I said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't explain it.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
So you can't control when it comes out.
I think if you put a gun to my head and was like, don't say cookson, I think I wouldn't say it. It's sort of a weird, it's just like cringing, but I'm like out loud.
Yeah.
I think.
I've seen you do it at football.
Really?
Mm.
Well, Daniel, some people get annoyed at me at football for doing my Italian accent.
Is that a tick?
No, that is when I was little, I got booked for swearing. So my way around it was to, you know, because to get out that emotion was to be Italian, basically.
It is very funny when you do an Italian accent.
Yeah, it's better than swearing, like, but they think it's they're always convinced it's Italian, but you know, I just sort of think, well, it is, so whatever.
He's got his quirks, haven't you?
Mm.
Right, I'm going to add another neck to the stranger.
This is where I go wrong with art, I think. I try and do too much.
Well, yeah, that's why I keep wanting to stop, because I think I've sort of over-painted it now.
Yeah.
Sometimes less is more, you know? Don't know if you've heard that phrase.
I've heard it. Because I could not paint their faces. Do you think I just don't paint their faces?
Well, I've left them because I tried to do the stranger's face and I tried to do John's, but I sort of messed it up. So, and I quite like that the focus is on the bodies.
Yeah. Well, I might do the body a bit more. What colour do I do Peter's body? Sort of like,
for me, it's sort of neon pink, neon orange and dark brown.
Oh, interesting.
Can't wait to send these to your uncles. Quite pleased with that, sort of.
I'm very close. I've not looked at yours yet.
No, I've not looked at yours. And we can do a countdown.
I think what I love about art is that it, and this is what I love about sort of filming stuff, but I think it's more the case with art, is that it's sort of a piece of time that just exists forever. And that so I suppose...
That's what you don't get with comedy. It's nice having a tangible thing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's sort of what excites me about it. But I've not painted any of their cocks.
Okay, well, now I feel really stupid. I've only painted two of their cocks.
All right, I might paint their cocks.
Tony, he's got a bit of a an action man thing going on.
Really?
Yeah, sort of smoothed over the cocks, probably just sandwiched between his thighs.
Oh, actually, I want to do one last thing.
Is this your way of getting out of spending Christmas with them next year?
Yeah. No, I love spending Christmas with my Uncle Peter.
Okay, I'm done. I'm not doing anything.
Okay, I will do something more after we finish.
Okay. Should we do 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 3, 2, 1. Whoa!
Oh, lovely. Oh, we've both...
Oh, my God.
Do you know what we've both done?
What?
We've both got Peter holding his cock.
I love that. Stranger is so grotesque.
Yeah.
I really like how you've done the necks with just like these lines of brown.
Yeah.
It's a really terrifying image.
Mm.
Who's that in green again?
That's Tony.
Tony. And has he got boobs?
Yeah, sort of saggy tits.
It's really great. I love the vibrant little Willy. Green.
Well, I thought I'd make him like sort of a goblin.
And who's that with the pint? Is that John?
That's
on the
John.
Left?
Yeah.
He's quite reminiscent of your rose porch.
Yeah.
In terms of the facial features.
Well, that's, yeah.
I really like it. Can you sign it?
Yeah, I'll sign it.
Amazing.
I love yours.
Thank you.
Tony, you've made Tony really, you made Tony pregnant.
Yeah.
Which is nice. Peter holding his cock's fantastic. And the stranger's in a bikini. Simple as that.
Yeah.
They're faceless. To you, they're faceless people.
They are. And it screams Christmas at the McQueen's. Thank you, Luke. It's been very fun.
Thank you, Annie.
Goodbye. Oh, yeah, plug your podcast.
Have I plugged it?
Yeah, how do people listen to it?
The reason this is the only thing I'm going to plug for 10 years is because I recorded it at Ben Williams' studio, Plosive, and he wanted nothing to do with it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I said, I'll do a bet with you that it will get 100,000 listens.
Mm-hmm. Did you give an end point?
No. So I'm just going to plug it for 10 years. It's the only thing I'm going to plug. No matter what I do, I'm just going to plug this podcast. It's called... Go to Sleep. It's called Go to Sleep or Else You're a Pervert. And you can get it on Spotify.
It's very good.
It's 15 minutes.
All right. Thank you, Luke.
Well, well, well. What would Sigmund Freud say? Friend of the podcast. I think he'd say review, download, subscribe. Hope you enjoyed listening. It does genuinely help if you write a nice little review under whatever the link is. You can find that in the notes, I imagine. Remember to follow Luke on Instagram at Mr. Luke McQueen and do listen to his podcast. It's very funny. It's called Go to Sleep or Else You're a Pervert. If you want to see mine and Luke's artworks from today, follow at Secret Art Pod on Instagram and Twitter. I'm also selling some artworks. You can follow me on Instagram at mcgrath.art and I'm available for commissions. So if you have, you know, an idea for a painting that you want to give to a friend or lover or enemy, then do get in touch. I've done some sort of, you know, some more abstract stuff or figurative stuff or portraits. They make for good wedding gifts and just, you know, general something to fill the walls of your house if you need that. All right, happy new year, I suppose. Thank you for listening as ever, and see you on the other side.
Secret Artists is a Turtle Canyon comedy production for Acast. Music by Alistair Clayton. Quickfire Round music by Steve Dunn.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.